looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm Life Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. Now, this isn't really a challenge, but it's something a lot of people are curious about, or they think about it because they wonder, what the heck was that? You suddenly, it's like I said, it's not a challenge, but it's a, something you're very curious, and you think, okay, something interesting is going on here, and I want to know about it. I want to know why that happened, or I feel like somebody is helping me. I feel like I have a little angel on my shoulder, and maybe you do. And so we have a very special guest with us today that can actually tell you that, yes, indeed, you may very well have that angel on your shoulder or floating around with you somewhere, and does a very special, I love what our guest does. It's Ken. Hi, Ken. I know you're there, but I'm going to...
Hi, everyone. Hello.
Hello. Yay. Well, I wanted to say, you know what? We're going to be talking about go where spirit goes, and we want to help everybody connect with your guides. Today, Ken, he's just incredible. He literally works as taught hundreds of people around the globe how to connect with their guides. Now, I'm going to let him do all the teaching here, but guides and angels are different, and then there's archangels, and then there's energy, and then there's thought, and there's connection, and there's all this stuff. And Ken, I just want to say a little bit about Ken, because I've got your wonderful thing here. Ken has been teaching hundreds of people how to channel their spirit guides. He works with his partner, Kim Work. I love her. Waking Up an Empath, amazing woman and author. Oh, actually, it says right here, author, healer, and trainer. I just threw in the amazing. And together they travel around North America doing, and I love this, you guys do group healing. And it's called Infinity Healing, and you teach people how to hone their spiritual abilities. First of all, that is so cool. It's first of all in groups. I can't even imagine all the energy that's there. And it's called, I love this, Infinity Healing. Like you do that together. Is that your alone thing, or is that when you do it together?
Yeah. So in that case, what I do is I channel the spirit guides for the group, and I find out what the group needs to be healed. And then I pass that information on to Kim, and Kim's one of the most powerful healers in North America, and she goes ahead and heals the group. And then I find out the next thing that the group needs healed, and then I tell Kim, and then she heals the group, and then I find out, and I keep channeling everything like throughout that 1 hour that we do the Infinity Healing, and the results are amazing. Like, people walk out of there like so much healthier, so much different in a positive way. We've had tremendous feedback. We fill up rooms, 30, 40 people at a time all over North America. And we also do online Infinity Healings as well.
I think it's like, thank you so much, first of all, for doing that part of your, I'll call it service. I don't know if that's what you want to call it, or it's how you serve people or help people, or what you're doing here on this planet right now. But for you to be able to literally make that difference in people's lives in like really an hour, like that's how long we'll be talking today. And can you imagine somebody can just, like, change their, is it because of an understanding that they gain, or the healing they gain, or what, like, why does it have such an impact in an hour when you get to finally connect and align?
So the biggest thing that, like, when I first started my healing journey in 2004, 2005, I always wanted to get to the root cause of what was causing the ailment or the struggle with the client that I was working on. And the reason why channeling is so important is because over the years, and working with Kim especially, I was able to get to the, I'm able to find out what's the root cause of what's going on with this person. And between Kim and I, we bounce it off each other and try to figure out, oh, well, there's an aspect of this person that is causing their anxiety. And I'm like, well, what's it called? Like, and we're like, we've never heard of it. Okay, well, let's figure that out. And then once we heal that aspect of them, the person's like totally fine with their anxiety now. Like, they can actually go out in public. They don't have like major phobias and on and on and on. Like, the testimonials are just crazy because we get to the root cause of what the person needs healed.
When you say aspect, I'm going to go on a limb here because people are thinking, okay, like you just go in there and yank it out or something, but it's about a vibration, is it? Or how would you say what that is?
The best way that I could explain it is if you think of like organs of the body. So like, let's say 500 years ago, science guys, they didn't know much about the human anatomy and body. And now over the centuries, we've learned more and more about, oh, this is an organ. Well, what's this organ do? And this is a different organ. Well, what's that organ do? They do different things and they're different aspects of the physical body. Well, the same thing happens. We're probably like 98, 99% non-physical. So there's things like our energetic being, our mental being, our spiritual being, our physical being, our emotional being. There's our soul. There's our higher self. And I could just go on and on and on. There's all these different aspects of our physical, of our being, of our body, of our, like, not just physical, but our non-physical. And sometimes those aren't as healthy as they can be. And so what Kim and I do is we help them to be the healthiest they could possibly be.
And that's a fun thing to do.
And we use a whole bunch of different healing modalities, a lot of them that we've developed. Kim's a Reiki master. She's, taught over 40 Reiki masters just this year alone. Like, she's probably one of the top Reiki master trainers available. I teach people how to channel their spirit guide so that when we actually do trainings like Reiki training, those people are also channeling. So they're not just your average practitioner, but they're actually the top in the industry because they're using their channeling abilities along with their healing abilities. And it's just like so exciting, right? Like, to get these people, because we can't reach everyone, right? Kim and I are just two people. So we need to train the masses and train those people to go out and get the majority of the people around the world.
Okay, double-ended question here. So first of all, can people who do not challenge and are, how are they healing then? How are healers healing if they don't channel? I went backwards on you.
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a lot of different healing modalities. I have like stacks of certificates and diplomas and different techniques and different processes that I take clients through. There's a lot of, like, so for example, Reiki training, you become attuned to the Reiki symbols, and because of that, you can actually channel the energy of that symbol through you to help with the healing. That's one way. That's channeling energy, which is different than the channeling I do. I actually teach people to channel their spirit guides.
But then there's all sorts
of different processes. There's psychology kind of stuff. There's like all sorts of different healing modalities. And the cool thing is if I had 10 people lined up and they all had the same struggle, challenge that they're going through, let's say anxiety. So each one struggled with anxiety. For one of those people, I might need to do one process. For another one, I might need to use another modality. Another one, I might need to use three or four different modalities, and it might be different for all 10 of them. And that's why we teach our clients how to have more tools in their tool belt so they can help and, pull those different modalities, healing modalities out when they need them, depending on the client. But how do you tune into each person and know which modalities to use? And that's where channeling comes in.
Oh, and this is going to be fun because we are going to be talking about what you specifically channel, which is spirit guides. But it was so funny this morning, and I don't often read a lot of just regular like articles like on Facebook, whatever. And I love Lady Gaga, and her story is incredible. And that's anxiety. It's funny that you picked anxiety because that's one of the biggest things she was really struggling with before. It's like, why am I having such anxiety? And it was just, her lack of connection with identity at that time. And I just love that you said anxiety. Okay, you had mentioned this now that you yourself were going through, was it in 2004 that you were going through your own healing journey?
Yeah, so in 2004, 2005, I basically all my early childhood, I struggled with alcoholism. I was a hardcore like alcoholic, I almost died from it. And in 2004, 2005, I ended up sobering up. And that started my spiritual journey. I'm like, okay, looking for like a higher power. What is all this stuff? What is, I was just open to anything because it was life or death for me at the time. I had to be open to something. And all of a sudden, like, my addiction was totally gone. I never had any craving, nothing to any alcohol, any drugs, nothing. And it was just like miraculous, right? And I couldn't explain it. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's something bigger than me, something else going on that I don't understand. And what I did is I put that curiosity thought in my mind, like curious. I'm like, and that I still use that curious to this day. Like, I get curious. I'm like, what's going on here? What's really happening? What's, how can, what's, you know, and I just ask questions, and I'm like an explorer and a pioneer and trying to, you know, find out more things, and it's discovery, right? It's exciting. And so then
that's what the amusement park thing I get from you. That's exactly that feeling. Like, it just feels like whenever you're, when I'm talking to you, it's like, ooh, what journey are we going on today? Where are we exploring?
And you and I, we did a session together, and the neat thing about the sessions that I do with people, I do one-on-one as well as groups, and when I do one-on-one sessions is I'm always open to whatever unfolds. I don't try to constrain it. I'm just like, okay, let's just see what unfolds. Let's see what happens, and who knows where it's going to take us, because I don't even know, and that's exciting, and that's fun, and look what happened with you when we did your little mini session. Like, wasn't that exciting?
Yes. What I want to share with the listeners, the biggest thing is, and I think everybody goes through this, I really do, and you can let everybody know if this is true. You just said something, we're curious, so we ask a question, and then, believe it or not, we always get an answer, but the thing is, are we listening, and do we believe it? Because that, remember my doubt? It was like, well, I don't know. You know, my, yeah. Like, that was always my block, because you're like, I think I'm just making this up, you know? And remember, I struggled with that, like, the entire session. I'm like, I think I'm making this up. And you're like, but, you know, like, it's these things that you come up with, and you suddenly say something, you think, well, I would never have known that, and I couldn't have made it up, but I feel like I made it up, so you have this doubt. Does that come up a lot with you, with people, and how do you normally handle that?
Doubt is actually, if I tell my students, I say, if you ever get to a point where you have no doubt in your life, come teach me, because I want to learn from you, because I still have doubt in my life. Kim Wirch, she still has doubt in her life. You know, we all have doubt, and that's all normal part of the process. And what happens is, over time, as you practice and do it more and more, and you have someone like me who verifies it for you, verifies the information that you're getting, and can keep you on track, and after a while, eventually you just start to trust more and more that the answers you're getting are accurate, that, okay, this really is my spirit guide that I'm communicating with and is giving me messages, and it just subsides over time. The doubt subsides. It really does.
Yeah, I think that's a big one that people would like to hear, because, you know, a lot of people use their oracle cards, or whatever they are, a pendulum, lots of people like those things, crystals, and they use them, and they feel comforted by them, and they get their response or guidance or answers, but then, you know, what it is, a thing like going, is it down to just, are we relying on these things because we already know what we want, and we're just using it because we don't trust ourselves, or are we really truly receiving guidance?
Right. So one of the things that I truly encourage my students to do is not to use pendulums, not to use muscle testing, not to use oracle cards. And the reason is because when I teach you how to channel your spirit guides, you're going to be able to get way more information, way more detailed information, way more specific information than you can when you're using cards or dowsing or muscle testing, anything like that. And the reason is, if you think of a deck of cards, right, it only has a limited amount of like pictures and information on there. But when you're channeling your guides, it's like you're having a full-blown communication like you and I are right now. You're getting messages that are very specific to your life, to your situation, to your circumstance, right now in the moment, and a week later, it's going to all change. So when you're communicating with them a week later, you're going to get totally different information that's applicable to you a week later, week from now, right? And so it's way, way, way more powerful to just learn how to get it directly from your spirit guides. And your spirit guides, they're people like you and I, and that's one thing I really want to emphasize. They're people like you and I, just not in physical form, and they've chosen to be your guides out of love, because they love you and they want to help you, and they want to, you know, they want to support you while you're incarnated. And the reason why I suggest people listen to their spirit guides and follow their guidance is because your spirit guides actually operate on a higher level. And like, they're not perfect. They're still evolving and changing. That's really important to know. But where they operate from in the astral realm is they can see a bigger picture. They can see a higher perspective. They know why you've incarnated. Mm-hmm. They know that if you talk to this person and go to this house and talk to this lady, she's going to tell you about, you know, a person who lived next door and was a grandson, and, you know, all this crazy stuff, synchronicities that happen. It's because you're getting that guidance, right? And they can see how all these pieces will fall into play.
Yeah, it made me think about when an adult is talking to a child about it's their first day of school, and the child can only see so much about their first day of school, and the adult is looking from a broader perspective, like, you know, they've been through grade school, high school, universities, that kind of thing, and so they're saying, you can't see it all, but I can promise you, there's so much more, and the child just has to either trust or hear it or go along. It's kind of like, I feel like suddenly that's what that sounded like when we are connected with our guides, it's that we're that little kid and we have to just, you know, the trust that our guides can see that bigger picture, because it is a different frequency or dimension. What word would you use?
So I like to use the analogy of, imagine you're in a forest. Okay. So Lisa's in a forest and she's there, and all you can see is the trees in front of you. That's all you can see from your perspective. But because your spirit guides operate from a higher perspective, they operate in the astral realm, they could see the whole entire forest as a whole. So they could say, okay, Lisa, now go this direction, go to your right, and you're going to follow this path, which is going to take you to this pond, to this lake, and they can guide you all that because they can see that from their perspective. So, yeah, I guess you could say it's like a higher frequency, a higher vibration, but also a higher perspective as well.
I like that, higher perspective. That's actually more, in a weird way, tangible. That's a very ironic word to use there. you know what, I believe it or not, in 30 seconds, we're going to have to go to commercial, but I'm so filled with so many questions. And also, when we do come back, you are going to be able to teach us some steps, like how do we connect with our spirit guides, and what about the spirit family? There's a whole difference to that. So, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Okay, everybody stay, we're coming back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Enjoy passive income benefits while creating a cottage experience for others. From a relaxing getaway to connecting with nature, sitting around flickering campfire light, dipping in cool, refreshing waters, strengthening your body with biking, hiking, boating, and swimming. And you have the cottage that could be a part of all of those memories while earning you money. Financial abundance as a thank you for renting your cottage. Become a cottage rental owner today, safely and supported. RentCottage.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You know what? I do love the commercials so much, but I love having this conversation with you. So, everybody, who are we talking to? We are talking to Ken Lewicki, and I really hope I said that right, because I realize now that I already said Ken's last name incorrectly. You guys know your fun last name. So, I'm going to spell it for everybody. And did I say it right? Lewicki?
Lewicki, yeah. Just like it sounds.
Lewicki.
L-E-W.
Oh, good.
L-E-W. Lewicki, Ken Lewicki.
Yes, and I really want people to know how that's spelled because I want them to go to your Facebook page, and I want everybody to connect with, like literally, connect with Ken, not just your spirit guide. And you know what? Yeah. Even your guys' Facebook page is fun. Like, it's just fun. You guys are full of smiles all the time, and I just want to ask you, I believe that joy is the, you know, symptom of alignment. I believe that's the manifestation of alignment and joy, because you're just constantly being, you know, you're just connected and you're never alone. When you were going through that healing process, like, thank you for sharing that too about, I think I did know that about being an alcoholic, but then I kind of forgot. And a lot of people go to that place because they are looking for something better. They're in pain. They're struggling. They just want to escape. I mean, they're not bad people. Like, nobody with any of these things are bad people. They're just not connected. So do you find that people come to you, and we'll talk about the spirit guides, but do you find people come to you and just feel like they're just alone and they want to connect with spirit guides, or they do need a healing and they think spirit guides could help them to get there?
It's kind of interesting how I've seen the extremes. So I've been doing this industry for like over 10 years now, like a long time. And I've seen the extremes. So some people, they isolate from the worldly kind of activities and people and all that. And then they only connect with their spirit guides, but they don't live their life. They don't like actually go out and connect. And like, we need human connection too, incarnated people. We need to physically connect with people. And then I've seen other extremes where people shut down their abilities. And most of the time, so one of my, I'll just tell a real quick story. There's a lady who she's been, I've trained her several years. I'm getting goosebumps all over right now. Just talk about it. There's a lady, I've been training her for years, and she came to one of the spirit expos that Kim and I were doing. And we do like quick little 20-minute sessions. I do connect with your guide sessions. Kim does, you know, life force healing kind of healing sessions. And so the lady came to me and she brought her son, and she goes, "Ken, I know what you do. And my son has been seeing like ghosts or spirits in his room and he can't sleep. And I know what you do. So I'd like you to work with him." So right away I tuned in and I'm like, "Okay, mom, you got to go." So mom, go away. So mom walked away. Right. And this little boy, he came and he sat down with me, and I'm like, "Okay, so what's going on?" And he's like, "Well, I see these spirits in my room and I don't know what they are or who they are. And I'm really afraid to go to sleep." I'm like, "Okay." So I check in. I'm like, "Okay, everything's fine. Everything's okay." So I invite his guide. It was his guide in this case. I invite her to come with us, to come near us. And I'm like, "Okay, your spirit guide is here right now." He's like, "Yeah, I can feel her." And I go, "Okay, now put your hand out and actually touch her." And as soon as he put his hand out and started touching her, his whole face lit up with joy. And I'm like, "Yeah, that's your spirit guide. She's here to help you. And she wants to, you know, be your friend and know that everything's safe and everything's fine." And his whole entire life changed from that moment on. He was like 8 years old or 10 years old, something like that. And now he's able to sleep fine. Everything's fine with him. And so if his mom wasn't awakened and didn't know about this stuff, what do you think might have happened with this kid, this boy? Like, sometimes they think he's crazy.
Schizophrenia. Yeah.
They put him on meds. Maybe they tell him, like, you know, just stop making this stuff up. And he shuts down his abilities. But here, because she knew what I do, I helped to basically encourage him that it's okay, that it's safe, that you can listen to your guide, in this case, this girl, and that she's here to help you and create that fellowship and bond. And I got goosebumps all over it. Magical moments. And that's why I do what I do.
Why are we afraid at first then? Like, he was scared, like, it's an uncomfortable, why are we, like, is there such thing as evil? Like, could that have been an evil thing, why are we scared? Is it just scared because we don't understand?
It's the biggest reason we're afraid is because of the unknown. So when I was a child, I used to get goosebumps all the time. I used to get these feelings and sensations all the time. And I was like, "I don't know what it is." I had no one to talk to. I couldn't talk to my parents because they weren't into that. They didn't believe in any of that. I couldn't talk to any of my friends. I couldn't talk to my teachers. I couldn't talk to anybody because I had no one who would have understood that. And they thought I would have been crazy And so I'd get these goosebumps and I'd shake them off and I'd say, go away, go away, go away. So all my childhood, I shut down my abilities because I was afraid of the unknown. I was afraid. I didn't know what it was, and I had no one to talk to and no one to help me explain this. And believe it or not, it's not just children, it's adults too. But what Kim and I do is we teach the adults so that they can help the children and the grandchildren and their family members and their nieces and their nephews and all the other people around them. Yeah, it's there's nothing to be afraid of.
Do you know what? Here is a funny analogy of this. This is so, you're making me remember this funny thing. Just like it's so simple that my family loves tea. We love tea. And we had a plug-in, like an electric kettle. But my mother, as a child, she didn't want me to, you know, go near electricity and plugs and all this kind of thing. So she told me when I was really little that that's the snake that comes out and bites you. You know, that electrical thing when you unplug something and it snaps. And so I was terrified of these plugs. And one time she was like, oh, Lisa, can you go unplug the kettle? It's boiling. And I was like, no, that snake's going to come out and bite me. And I remember going, just unplug it. It's going to burn out the thing. I can't get to the kettle. And I remember standing there for, like, literally freaking, like crying, like panicking, like I'm going to burn the house down.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to get bit by a snake. And because I just was so scared of the unknown, like, like, and so I can see how, like, things as simple as that. Like, I remember that whole moment, it was so intense. But somebody might get those goosebumps, and those goosebumps were like the snake, like, oh, get him off me. I don't know what this is. And you can't talk
That's
to anybody.
Right.
So I'm really, really glad that you're sharing that. What is,
well, and if you think about it, Lisa, too, like, how that affected you as an adult. So perhaps there might be some of the root causes of why technology might be more of a struggle with you because you're afraid of something simple like electricity, right? And then, so what
you
Kim
know
and I
me
would
too
do
well here.
We, yeah, well, because I'm channeling that right now and getting that, oh, that is part of the root cause. So what Kim and I would do is we would go in and we would figure that out and heal that aspect, like that trauma that, you know, that you had, because it was. And then now it would help you to embrace technology easier. Does that make sense?
Okay, well, that's worth its weight in gold right there. I'm actually glad I shared that story now because one would never have realized that moment. Like, what is the minute of 60 seconds of my life back then that actually I really do have that. I was like, oh, my hand, like every time I go to unplug anything now, I always go, are my hands dry? Oh my God, I don't want any water on there. I don't, you know,
that's
I think about it.
And see how stuff in our childhood can affect our adulthood. And the same thing happens with our spiritual abilities. And what Kim and I do is we teach you that that's actually a very valuable part of you, that you are not just a physical being, but you're a spiritual being. And we teach people how to hone those abilities. Kim and I are both in IT. We've had IT backgrounds. We have computer backgrounds. We're not some weird kind of woo-woo kind of people. We make this stuff practical. We make it real. We make it tangible. We take it and we make it normal. We teach people to embrace their spiritual abilities, and that's cool.
It is, and you really do. I'm during my session, because even before we had our session, I thought, oh my God, this is going to be so weird. I don't even know if I believe it like this or whatnot. Or I was just like chatting with you like it is now, you know, and like going along. Now, what I really, I think a lot of people might be wondering and asking, because I know I did. Some people will say to me, oh, you know, I talk to my angels, like Archangel, I don't know who they are, Raphael, Michael, all these kind of things. Or they might say, oh, this is my grandma, she's my angel. But then there's a whole other thing called spirit guides and spirit families and stuff. So can you help us who identify, who are all these things?
So let's back up a bit. I will start from the beginning. And basically, there's you have your soul family. Your soul family is members of your family. Usually you incarnate with them. Sometimes some people have incarnated with them in this lifetime, and sometimes people have incarnated with them in past lifetimes, and sometimes people have incarnated with them in several lifetimes. And your soul family, it's like kind of like, if you have you ever, like, you know, you meet someone for the first time and it's like, oh, I can't believe it. It feels like I've known you forever.
Yeah.
Well, if they actually are part of your soul family, you literally have known them forever. They're like, you've known them for eons, not just in this lifetime, but probably in many past lifetimes, in between lives, when you both reside in the astral realm. Like, you've known them, these people, forever. So those are members of your soul family. Now, when you're incarnated, members from your soul family will choose to be your spirit guide during different seasons of your life. So you, on average, the most people have between 3 to 5, this has been my experience, most people have between 3 to 5 spirit guides during any period in their lifetime, okay? And these are people like you and I, just not in physical form. So for example, my dad, he was my spirit guide for quite a few years, and he taught me how to channel so that I could teach other people how to channel. Well, once I learned how to channel, he stepped back, and then I had another spirit guide come in to help me with different areas of my life, because my dad had basically, he'd done what he needed to do, and he was ready to move on. I had changed and evolved enough where he could move on, and then I had a new spirit guide come in, right? But most of our guides, about 70% of our spirit guides, are people that we've never met, we've incarnated with in a past lifetime, not this lifetime. So about 30% will be in this lifetime, and about 70% from past lifetimes. So that's our spirit guides, okay? Then there's angels, and then there's archangels, and there's other kind of different beings and stuff like that. So a lot of people use the term guardian angel, and I actually don't like to use that term, and the reason why is because it could be misleading. Most of our, pretty much all the time, our spirit guides are people like you and I. And people are like, well, I just want to go straight to the top, straight to angels and archangels. I'm like, no. Angels and archangels deal with like a bigger picture kind of stuff. Yes, they will intervene with humans and they can ask for help and all that. That's cool. But they're not here to guide you. That's not their role. That's not what they're here to do. Your spirit guides are here to guide you. They're part of your soul family. They know why you've incarnated. They can see your life paths that's constantly changing and evolving and moving and you know, trending different directions and trajectories are changing, right? They can see that, and they know what's in your highest and best interest at every moment, and then they can guide you. So it's really, really important. I emphasize to people, connect with your spirit guides. Create a fellowship with your spirit guides. They're people like you and I, part of your soul family, and you want to build that relationship with them so that they can guide you in every different area of your life.
And it's really tactical. Fellowship.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a question. Can animals, your pet, your cats, your dogs, can they be your spirit guides?
Yeah.
Or is it always
so in the more advanced levels, I teach people to connect with their totem animals. So the beginning level is I teach people to connect with their human spirit guides, if you want to call them that. And then the advanced levels, I'll teach them how to connect their totem animals, their totem spirit animals. So yeah, definitely. And they have a different purpose than spirit guides, but they're super cool. I love working with them. Some of them could be very touchy and sensitive, and a lot of them have attitude just like your pets do. And it's a lot of fun with them.
I love that you just, I didn't know, I don't think I needed the totem, because guess what? My totem animals have just been showing up. And my latest one was hilarious. I have to tell you, it was a duck. And I was like, oh my God, it's a duck. And he, it was so cute because he obviously they stand up to walk, but he actually looked like he actually literally stood up to walk to eat an apple. And I was like, wow, I would eat an apple. But I love that you said they come in to teach what they need at the time, and they move on, because I don't know when the next spirit animal shows up for me, my totem animals, but they just kind of do.
Yeah.
And then you think, oh my gosh, and you recognize it because you're listening. Is there a way that you can help us to how do we like shut off all that other stuff so we can hear it and go, oh, they're like me. Oh, I was like, yep, I could have dreamt about any animal or anything, but I was like, no, that duck is for me right now.
Well, and so before I get to that real quick, let's say there's 10 people and they all have ducks as totem animals. So you can read a book that's, you know, on animal spirit guides and all that, and they'll say, okay, well, a duck means this. And yes and no,
Google.
Right? Yeah, Google, yeah. Right? And all that. And Kim and I have found that that's usually somewhat accurate, but not always accurate, and usually not. So, for example, if the 10 people all had a duck or all had a bear or all had a dog as a totem animal, it could mean something different for all 10. And so what we teach our clients to do is actually connect with them and again, fellowship with them and ask, okay, what are you really here to help me with? Because in this case, a duck could actually be helping each 10 individuals on a different way, in a different way. Then,
right.
You know, so it's not always that clean cut. It's not always, okay, duck means this. Well, maybe, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
Andrew, I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, because what's even better than getting information from Google or a book is actually connecting with them and say, okay, duck, what are you really here to help me with? and actually getting their suggestions and advice and how they want to help you and assist you in your journey.
You are so intuitive to have said that, because, you know, I often, you know, like, will look up like a horoscope or like what you said, look up duck. So when I did look up duck, I thought, oh, it's luck and prosperity and like lucky duck and good fortune. but because he ate that apple, I really believe, it's funny you mentioned technology earlier, I believe that I'm about to have my luck turned around with information, because the apple is, you know, apple, like Apple computers, apple the knowledge, you know, wisdom from the Garden of Eden. I believe that I'm going to get lucky and have a sudden understanding about knowledge and information that just takes me to the next level. And it's so different. You're
so
right.
As
you have
noticed,
to learn how to interpret.
If you haven't noticed, like the whole theme that Kim and I do is empowerment. We want to empower people. Like, so when I teach people to connect to their spirit guides, I want to teach them how to do it so they don't need readers anymore. They don't need to rely on people to go to their oracle cards or get a psychic reading or an oracle card reading from somebody else. And I want them to empower them so that when they get a new totem animal, they can learn to connect with them on their own without me, and they can get their information on their own without me. They can learn to connect with their spirit guides without me. So in the moment, they can make decisions about their career, about the relationships, about their finances, about whatever area of their life, without having to come to somebody and rely on them. It's all about empowerment.
I love that. And as our 20 seconds before commercial, I want to remind everybody that we are speaking with Ken Lewicki, and it's all about connect. He teaches people not just how to connect with their spirit guides and their soul, all these things, but how to interpret and how to be empowered so that you don't have to rely on other people. I mean, you're welcome to go to the people and just get a kickstart, you know, but really to trust yourself and know what you're going through, you can actually come into alignment with it. And there's still so much more to come. So as we shuffle off to commercial, we are coming back and we still have another huge chunk of lots more fun stuff and little tidbits and tips on how to connect with spirit guide.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
So I'm a cat. And I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hey, thanks everybody for listening to Light on Living. So much fun. Hello, Ken. We've got Ken Lewicki here with us, and he is, oh, he's just so calm and joyful and just a great healer and a teacher of how to receive healing, to do healing, to give healing. One question, I'm going to jump into this, but you can tell me, Ken, if I'm jumping way too far, okay? Because I just remembered this was an important thing I want to have you help us with is,
you
actually connect with other people's spirit guides. So is it possible for me to connect with somebody else's spirit guide?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in my level one certification training that I do, my channeling, I do it online. The first most important relationship you want to have is with your own spirit guides. So we spend the whole entire time focusing on connecting with yourself, connecting with different aspects of you, connecting with your higher self, your soul, your different chakras, like, and all, and then your spirit guides. Then this level two, the main primary focus of level two channeling is to connect with other people's spirit guides, to be able to give them messages intentionally on purpose, how to make sure that the messages you're giving them is accurate. And then we go into a whole bunch of ethics around what's appropriate, what's not appropriate to share with people, because that's not taught anywhere. A lot of people just blab everything and it's like, no, you weren't supposed to tell them that. So it's always really important to make sure that I'm not just teaching people, but I'm teaching them in an ethical way so that they're actually check to make sure that the information that they're getting, they're meant to share with the person, because sometimes they're not meant to share everything, and it could be actually very harmful to share some certain things.
That's interesting.
Why would they get that information then?
Yeah, like you say you're working with me, and you are talking to my guides, and my guides go ahead and tell you something, and then how do you, your discernment, how do you decide whether I should know that or shouldn't know that, or why did they even tell you in the first place, those bad spirit guides, blabbermouths?
No, they're never bad. They're always loving. They always come from a place of love. the biggest thing that I check is I make sure I say, okay, just because I'm getting all this information, I ask which am I supposed to share this information with this person? And if I am, which am I supposed to share all of it or some of it? Because I need to filter it out, right? Because sometimes their guides are just like giving me tons and tons and tons and tons of information. But that doesn't mean that the person's ready to hear all of it. And so it's up to me to be discerning and filter what's appropriate for them, for me to pass along. And sometimes people are like, well, I'm just getting this, so I'm just going to give it. I'm just getting this. And no, that's not necessarily the healthiest thing for the client themselves, for the person coming to you. So if anybody's ever gone to psychics or readers or any kind of things like that, sometimes they actually divulge way too much because they think that, well, I'm just getting this, so I'm just going to give everything. But if you actually check and you actually ask, you'd be surprised that oftentimes that you're only supposed to give certain information. But to take a step back real quick, is often what happens is people will go their whole life and they'll be like, all of a sudden, like, they'll be like, holy smokes, that message you gave me, how did you know that? And they're like, I don't know, I just came to me, right? So people do this all the time accidentally. And so what I teach people to do in my level two channeling workshop is I actually teach people how to do it intentionally, how to actually tune into their spirit guides and give them messages on purpose. And then also to discern whether or not it's their spirit guide or not, because sometimes it's Uncle John coming to say, hey, you know what, I just died like a few months ago, but I wanted to give you this message. But that doesn't mean that the message could be good. It could be love. It could be all like wonderful and great. But sometimes you have members of their family trying to give that person advice and suggestions and guidance, but they're not their spirit guides. So that's a case where I teach people how to discern between that and not give that, not like tell them, okay, well, this is from your Uncle John, but your Uncle John's not your spirit guide. So don't take this all verbatim. Like, you know what I mean? Like just take it all as a grain of salt, because it might not necessarily apply to you. Instead, what I'd prefer you to do is get information and guidance from your spirit guides, because they know why you've incarnated. They have the higher picture and your life's plan and all that stuff. Like, they know why. So
we're never going to get a message that's causing harm. We're never going to get a message that's intentionally to scare us or to hurt us, wreck our lives, or make us crazy. It's always with a good intention. It's just trying to decode it, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. You got it. So there's souls out there who I'm not going to call them bad or bad spirits, bad souls, right, or anything like that. It's just unhealthier. It's just like humans that are incarnated. There's souls that are, or incarnated humans that are healthier than others, and some aren't. Some do, let's say, bad things or horrible things and stuff like that. So when it comes to souls, sometimes souls will give, they won't be your spirit guides, but let's say other souls will try to interfere or try to give information or advice or suggestions that aren't necessarily healthy for you. So I teach people how to discern between who's your spirit guide and who's not. If it's not coming from a loving place, don't listen to them. Do not listen to them. If it's not coming from a place of love, and if it's not your spirit guide, if it's, you know, some other random soul or someone else's, you know, guide, don't listen to them. Just listen to your guides, because your guides know why you're here, and they will always, always, always come from a place of love, from a place of kindness, a place. Sometimes they could be very stern and they have attitude and personality like us, right? But it will always come from a place of love. And really, really important.
Are they always there? Like, do they go like, oh gosh, you again, you already talked to me yesterday, or you already called me earlier this morning. Like, do we ever bug them too much?
Never. No. So a couple of things with that is our spirit guides, you got to remember that they're busy all as well. Like, they, in the astral realm, they're doing their own development, their own evolving, their own learning and training. So they're busy doing their stuff, but they come to us, and often when we call them, they'll come to us, but not always, because sometimes they're just busy. They're in the middle of something. But we can never bother them too much. And actually what happens is they actually appreciate it when you do. So what's really neat and magical is when somebody connects with their guide for the first time, they usually are so excited. Their spirit guide is so excited and so happy and like jumping around like, this is so awesome, because they've been waiting so long for them to finally connect with them. And then once they connect with them, they're like, keep connecting with me, please, like, do it often. They actually really enjoy the constant communication. They want that.
Yes. Now, here's the question. Will I or you, like people right now who are incarnate on this planet right now, physical form.
Incarnated.
Will I become somebody's spirit guide when I pass, or do I jump that? Does everybody become a spirit guide once they pass?
Oh, that's a really great question. It's not a guarantee. It's possible. Let's say, for example, somebody crosses over. Let's say it's your aunt. Okay. So your aunt is part of your soul family. Okay. So she passes over, she crosses over. No one really truly dies, but she now resides in the astral realm. She usually, the first part after she dies will be some processing, like they need to do some decompression and some processing of how her life was when she was incarnated. And that takes some time. So it could take several months, up to several years. Life reviews, stuff like that. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of like stuff in the rehabilitation, if you want to call it, that goes on.
Oh my goodness.
And then after that, then they may choose to be somebody's spirit guide. Like, they might choose to be your guide if they're part of your soul family, or they might not. It's really their choice. They might be doing other things in the astral realm that helps them evolve in different ways. They may choose to incarnate at a later period in time, or they may not. There's a lot of variables, and it's really up to them. It's what they want to do. You got to remember that we have free will, whether we're incarnated or even in the astral realm. And your guides that come to you, they do it out of free will. They do it because they love you and they want to support you while you're incarnated. And we have free will, and we can tell our guides to screw off, and we're not going to listen to them.
Right.
And I'm sure some of our listeners have done that. They're like, you know, getting this gut feeling not to do something, but they do it anyways. And then afterwards, it turns out really horrible. And they're like, oh, man. And it's like, yeah, you know, you could have listened to your guides, but you chose not to, and you have free will. And what I really encourage my students to do is try your best to listen to your guidance from your spirit guides on a regular basis, and just watch your life, watch the synchronicities and serendipities, and watch everything unfold. It's so magical once you start really, truly following the guidance from your guides. They will never steer you wrong, and it's just wonderful to do.
Oh, I know it. You sound so supported by them. I love that. And one more question on the spirit guide thing, and then I want to ask you how your courses run. But say okay, like, so, okay, I've connected with my spirit guides, and I often wonder, would I have possibly never have ever known them? Could they be somebody that just decided to be my spirit? Oh, there's Lisa Berry. We're going to be her spirit guide, but even though we've never met her before and we don't really know that, we just, could they choose somebody that they don't know? Or is it there always a connection somehow?
Yeah, there's pretty much, there's always a connection. They're part of your soul family.
Oh.
And again, most of the, about 70% of your people's spirit guides are they've known from past lifetimes. So it's quite a few clients that come to me, and especially when I do one-on-one sessions where we really help to identify each individual spirit guide, like most of them are from past lifetimes. And once in a while we'll get, like, you know, their mom or their grandfather or whoever it might be that they've incarnated within this lifetime. So most of the time, and often too, like, you know, they were so young when the person died, like, that they don't remember them.
I
remember my great grandma or something like that, you know, and that's your spirit guide now, many, many years
later. Is that sometimes we're tied to, like, I'm tied to a time period. If, you know, I see a piece of furniture from a certain, you know, time period, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I feel so drawn to it. Or is that just a preference? Like, I'm just here and I like it. Like, does there always have to be something more than, like, oh, there's a connection? Or could it just be, I just like it?
So when it comes to spirituality, it's very rare that I use the words like always and nevers and absolute kind of words like those, because it's not always one way or always another way. But yes, often times that when you have a connection to certain, like, furniture, certain styles of clothing, certain styles of houses, certain maybe areas of the world that you're drawn to, or eras, like different eras, it's because you had a past lifetime in that era. And often your spirit guides, when they come to you, they will present themselves in a way that you remember them most from a past lifetime. So you might have had like incarnated with them five times in a past lives, but they will usually pick one way to present themselves in a way that's the most familiar to you in this lifetime, and that's applicable to that area of your life that they're helping you with.
That's so cool. Okay. I hope that everybody, when you're listening to this show, you've thought, because this is, everybody's got to listen to the show and this replay and everything. Like, let's know what kind of familiarities do you have, or connections you have, or have you guys met your spirit guides, or maybe you don't and you'd like to, or I just want to invite everybody to talk to you. I guess this is why. And so we do have our last 3 minutes, but how can people work with you, connect with you, and what is their best and, you know, all that good stuff?
So Kim, my partner, Kim Wirch, and I, we have actually, we join our partnership together so that there's one place you guys can access us all. Waking Up an Empath, Waking Up an Empath on Facebook. If you just type in, that's the name of one of Kim's books, her first book, Waking Up an Empath on Facebook. If you search that in there, that's our Facebook page. And if you go to the events tab, you can see all the different events that we do. We do between 5 to 10 major events a month, just our own, never mind other people's events, but just our own 5 to 10 major events a month. And then also, if you go to kimwirch.com, that's kimwirch, kimwirch.com. If you go to that website, it also shows all, like, our events that we do and the trainings that we do and the group healings. We actually have an Infinity Healing, an online one, coming up this Friday, so you guys are welcome to join. And anyone around the world could join. It's only $40. And basically, the results, the healing is phenomenal. We heal, like, all the different aspects of a being. We do timeline healing and Akashic Records healing, super, super advanced stuff. But the results, like I said, are just, we've had so many testimonials, like hundreds, of how it's changed people's lives. And I do the channeling workshops where I teach people how to actually channel their spirit guides, but I also do one-on-one. So if anybody wants to do like a one-on-one session, just private message me through Facebook, Ken Lewicki, Lewicki. Just find me on there. I'm the only one you'll see me. I'm the only one on there. And just send me a private message and say, yes, I'd like to learn how to connect with my spirit guides. And it will totally change your life forever. Totally.
you know what, and even just meeting Ken, you know what, there's a vibration about you, Ken, it's just so joyful, uplifting, like I think that's what it is, and clarity and non-judgmental. So I want to thank you so much for sharing everything. Like, this just is a fun show, I knew it would be. And I hope that so many people connect with you. I've always enjoyed my connection. So just a huge thank you for being with us here. And I just thank you for what you've done in my life. And I can't wait to see and hear about all the people that you're about to help as well. So thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciated this time, and I look forward to connecting with some more people.
Yay! Okay, we'll get this replay out to everybody who missed it because it was a treat. And, Ken, I'm going to connect with you offline after this. And thank you, everybody. We'll see you in next week on Monday for more goodness. Okay, bye, everyone. Bye, Ken.
Bye.